Next on Speak Up.
That really threw me off in my life during that time. Okay. My father committed suicide when I was pregnant. When I found out that I was going to have a baby, I knew...
This was your first?
My third
It
baby.
All happens right now.
81% of parents don't think, dating violence is a problem.
Right.
What you're going through, you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this.
It is not always well. Sex is not the sin, and sex is not the problem.
You know, address the elephant in the room. Don't miss that opportunity.
I think as women, we have a lot of things to do. We multitask, so that's why we have to control.
We know that women are twice as likely to experience depression than men are. And depression can happen at any time in a woman's life. However, there are times that women are more at risk to experience depression. How to recognize these signs? Is it true that hormones have something to do with it? Or is that a myth? We are going to speak up today about this topic. Now, who is starting the talk today?
Well, if you talk about hormones, to who do you think is going to start this talk?
All of us have hormones.
I think it's the women age after 40.
And right now, at this phase of my life, I'm totally ready to speak up about it.
All right.
And so
you think it's true? It is. Depression can come because of hormones?
Well, depression can come because of hormones, absolutely. But even before this hormone thing, at this stage in my life, I had a bout with depression. That it wasn't, I couldn't talk about it, you know, with this easiness that we're doing here. Because that was 25 years ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, 26, yeah. I had a baby. And
so it was right after you had
right,
a baby?
It was right after I had a baby. I had a circumstance that really threw me off in my life during that time.
Okay.
My father committed suicide when I was pregnant. And
during
I really
do.
Yeah, when I found out that I was going to have a baby, I knew.
This was your first?
My third baby.
This was your third baby?
My third baby. So I had already two babies, then I had my third baby on the way, and then I found out about my father. Mm-hmm. And all that I could think about was to preserve the baby's health, so I really kept that at bay. And
you kept your father's situation, the suicide,
right,
at bay. You didn't really think about it.
I was a mother first and a daughter second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so after the baby was born and the baby was healthy and thriving, I started feeling things. And it was within a year span. And things very foreign to me because I have always been happy and bubbly. And even I had no tolerance with people who were not happy and bubbly like I was. And I was starting feeling, and it was embarrassing.
It's hard to speak about it. And in fact, you know, thank you for sharing. It takes a lot of courage to speak up like that.
Now I can talk about it. I can look at it and be very matter-of-fact about it. And I also had a lot of education between then and now. But at the time, it wasn't that easy. Yeah. And especially with the stigma of having my father commit suicide.
It's already hard as it is.
Taboo
to talk about that.
Yeah. You know, at the end, after a lot of support from my husband.
So he recognized it.
Well, he was in school studying abnormal psychology.
So he did he recognized it.
Well, somewhat, but not.
You know what? I think it's a man thing.
Well,
do you agree?
Recognize it or not recognize it?
To not recognize. Men just, I feel like they're so, like, they have, like, their own world, that they're wrapped around their own world that they don't recognize what women feel and what's going on with women's lives.
I'm going to say, sometimes it's hard for a man to figure out what's going on in a woman's life.
Yeah.
Especially
I guess we are complicated.
You know, during those times of the
hormones,
month, you know, women's hormones go up and down.
You're
like, is it
today?
Me? Is it them?
Uh-huh.
Or maybe it's just them.
So, but men want to fix it.
Men, true. Right?
They see a problem and they want to fix it. So he's looking at you and he's saying,
yeah,
how do I
fix it? Yeah, he took me to the emergency department because the symptoms I was having were similar to physical issues. So yeah. I had a brain tumor. I had stomach cancer. I had a
You felt like you had
felt that?
No, you named it, I had it. Yes.
So self-diagnosed.
My poor guy took me to the emergency department every time until it came to a point that I said, honey, I think there's something going on.
But see, this tells me something. So you're meaning to say that at the hospital, they would intake you and they didn't figure out the symptoms that
you
were having.
They would send you home?
That it was actually depression.
No,
they would send you back home.
No, they send me back home because, you know, now I'm a nurse. Now I know exactly what they said. There goes the basket.
Right. Here goes the frequent flyer.
Not everybody says
that. Probably just wants drugs.
They ask you about any recent events.
No, 25 years ago.
Had there been any recent events in your life because you had a baby and stuff, were there any recent events, then the suicide of the father would have come up.
Yeah, no, we have come a long way.
Well,
thank God for quality measures, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know,
right.
Because now we ask people, we know
the, history,
the background.
Yeah.
So after my third baby was 18 months, so that's when I really dealt with it. Mm. But because it came to a point that I could no longer live. I didn't have quality of life.
Yeah.
I wasn't functioning anymore. Mm-hmm. And my husband said, you know, maybe think about it. Your father committed suicide. Your mom has also mental
That's
health
a good
issues.
Man. That's a good
and
man.
Then, you know,
That's a good
in your
man,
case,
yeah.
you didn't ever feel like doing that, ending your life. You didn't come to that point.
No, because I rationalized everything, you know, in the beginning, like I said, it was physical ailments. It wasn't really a mental thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there was stigma then. There's stigma now.
Yes,
but 25 years ago was a big thing.
It was
and
just
I
very
remember
crazy.
I had issues with in the church. Some people who knew about what was going on would come to me and when
they were
angry.
They were angry, which is good.
Yeah, but the minute that I told them that I was starting to take medication, then they had a
Now, you know, I must say that I'm glad that your husband took the initiative.
Right.
One time I was talking about this issue actually with a large group of people from another country, and there was only one man in the room. At the end of the lecture, he came to me, and he was a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I came to this lecture because I wanted to learn about the symptoms. Because my wife, after the first child, a few months after that, she wasn't herself.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a pastor's daughter. She was very full in her faith.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to help her, but she wasn't really feeling like being with the baby, didn't have the energy.
Oh, the guilt.
We just felt like she needed to rest.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So at the end of the story, one day, you know, she said, can you just be with the kids? I just need time to be by myself a little bit.
How many months was
so
that after?
This was just a 6 months or so after the baby was still young. And so he took the kids and the baby, and she stayed by herself. By the time he came back, she had hung herself.
Yeah.
And so he's like, we husbands need to be able to see the signs
to
do something about it. And
so
that's
tragic.
Why he was there.
So tragic.
That's rough.
Yeah.
So
right.
It happens in the families of Christian, you know, faith or any other faith for that matter.
Yeah.
And recognizing the signs
not recognizing
is something.
Because now that's because of the hormones. There's an imbalance of hormones. That's why it's important for men to be able to recognize those issues. Because, I mean, it's 1 month after, it's fine. But
After a certain time,
right, when it's 6 months, you'd be like,
radar.
You should be like,
yeah, I'm not
and there's a lot of good questions here for us today because this issue, we have a specialist, somebody here joining us to answer these questions on depression, Dr. Julio Melgosa, a psychologist. Dr. Melgosa, thank you for being here with us today. You heard, we've been talking a lot about this whole issue of hormones. So is that real? I mean, we understand there are parts in the life of a woman where they're more at risk. Can you share a little bit about what aspects
yes,
of their life?
There are a number of points in the life of a woman. Sometimes they have to do with physiological processes. Other times have to do with the society where women live.
Mm.
Examples of the organic component ones, adolescence is a time when...
Adolescence, in the teenage years.
It is the first time in the life that appears with the double ratio that you were mentioning about. During childhood, there is no such a thing of double in females.
Uh-huh.
Boys and girls experience depression
the
about in the same rate. So then after that, it comes the time when there is childbearing, child delivering. That's a moment also that hormonally and socially there's a lot of demand.
So when the girl becomes, like, has her first period, for instance, now she, the
right.
girl becomes...
That is you know, maturity, and therefore there are there is more proneness to depression. Then there is a times when they get married, and in marriages, the women can benefit from marriage more than men because they will live it more intensely. But if the marriage is not good, women will tend to suffer more than men, and therefore they will experience, they are more likely,
more likely to experience depression. I don't want to interrupt you, but we want to come back to these questions. We have many more questions for Dr. Julia Melgosa. Stay with us. We're going to our break right now, and I'm going to bring my Speak Up friends to join in asking more questions that you want to know about. Depression can be present throughout a woman's lifespan, but there are some points where they're more at risk. And psychologist Dr. Julia Melgosa is here helping us to better understand when are those critical times. You were talking about that, Dr. Melgosa. Can you continue expanding on that a bit more?
Sure. We were talking about the time of bearing children and delivering children. This is the time of the so-called postpartum depression.
That's what
comes during the first month after delivery. And it can be gone in 2 days, and that's what people call the baby blues. But sometimes stays, and then it becomes just a normal depressive episode. The good news about that one is that it tends to go away once the 8, 9, 12 months have gone by after the episode.
They still need to be treated during that time like they would with depression and other
times? It depends on the degree of severity, but oftentimes, yes, because it is like any other depression, but it just happens at that time. Then we have the time of menopause. That is another biological component.
We're very far from that time.
Yeah, but it looked at me.
No, I was going to say, I heard about like the life begins at 40. What is that? Is it because you start to menopause after 40? And like hormone changes after 40?
Wisdom.
I say wisdom. Okay, nothing to do with hormones.
So menopause is one of those times.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And then it comes the time when you lose your spouse. Most commonly, women survive or outlive their husbands. So you have a very large number of widows and not so many widowers. Now, this loss doesn't have to end up in depression, but sometimes people in marriage live in ways that depend on each other, especially at a certain age. And when a woman becomes all of a sudden all
by herself...
She
loses identity in some point sometimes. If they've been married for
some marriages,
many years.
Yes, because they are not such a person, but the wife of so-and-so, and then they lose identity. This added to the social context. In some societies, women at that time, they are just kicked out of the house.
Right.
They are rejected. They are deprived from inheritance if they are the only survivor of that couple. So all these social things as well.
So do you think this is a cultural thing? Like, for instance, Noelle, and you come from an Asian culture where it's a little different than here in the West.
Right.
Do women at this stage, do they experience depression often, or is it a little different?
Well, I was going to ask, because I know in the Philippines, we tend to, like, as the eldest in the family, I am the eldest in the family, it is our, we're given this responsibility, not talent, but it's like a given that as the eldest, we take care of our old folks. Mm-hmm. So that I feel like they don't get depressed because for instance, my father will die, but then my mom gets to live with us. So she will be able to enjoy that environment. She will be taken care of, and the grandchildren are there. Absolutely. So I feel that they won't get depressed as opposed to them living in a nursing home.
This is a perfect example because at that age, that social context provides the care that in other contexts doesn't exist, and a likely to happen depression will never happen.
So, Erica, you're here from North America. Do you see that change, on this, perhaps with people in the more individualistic society, the increased risk? Have you seen that?
It's just not something that we naturally think about, right? You naturally just, it's part of who you are and who what your culture is.
Yes.
That's just something you do. For me, it's not. I certainly don't want to see my parents alone and hurting and going through things, but it's not maybe a natural thing that I'm going to think about. I need to be there for my mom so that she doesn't get depressed.
This is this is really interesting because here I'm feeling I would be so depressed if I had to depend on my children.
That is the mindset
that's the other
sometimes.
Yeah. I don't think to tell you the truth, I don't think my mom would let me do that. It wouldn't. It wouldn't be some. No, you've got your own life. You've got your stuff going on.
Maybe she'll feel even worse in some of those cases. But what you're saying is still very important because perhaps there's a role for a church, for instance, to play to embrace some of these people. Would that help reduce the risk?
Yes, certainly. I think the social support is one of those things in depression that can help prevent it and can help to accelerate the whole process. It seems that we have been created to be in the social context of loving people around us. And the more we have of that, the less likely we are to get into depression.
Mm-hmm. And that's for any age, right? I mean, that goes across the lifespan. Needing that social.
And that goes for any age or circumstance as well, doctor, because my sister, she lost her second child. The baby was born at 6 months. Mm-hmm. And so the baby lived maybe like for an hour and then died. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching my sister go through a range of emotions. But one of the things she would do was kind of just sit and stare, you know. But what was happening in her head also, she would have these weird dreams, just like weird stuff, right? And I feel like, and you'll have to help me understand, was it just situational because she had gone through and suffered traumatic and very large loss? Or was that a combination of loss and hormone because her body and her mind expected to take home a baby to nurse, to take home a baby to nest? But now her body only was going through the physical part of after having a child and not having a child to take home.
My guess it would be that the major factor there would be the loss rather than the hormones. You have hundreds of women who go through pregnancy and delivery and nothing happens to them. So that is reserved to a very small proportion. But that case of a loss, it's just a very traumatic situation. What you are describing is one of the post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms, which is the revival, to revive the situation of the loss, either in a dream, a bad dream, or in a flashback that, you know, it will come to her without even wanting. Now, in order to be a full post-traumatic stress disorder, he may have had to have many more symptoms. So probably that was not a case, but it was certainly the consequence of such a tremendous loss. I imagine that she overcame.
Yes. Now, may I ask another question? Do you find that people medicate too quickly? Because my sister's in the healthcare field, and because she wasn't sleeping, right, she was just awake.
Yeah.
Someone said to her, you should get some kind of pill, you know, whatever the
name
was.
Like self-medication?
Go to the doctor, let the doctor give whatever pill, you know, to help with depression and sleep. And I was like, no, please don't do it. I was like, if you get to a certain point and you need it, then fine. But for now, it's still so early, you know, let's work together on this. I'll sleep in the room with you, you know, we'll talk before, whatever. And she was fine. You know, she just needed
a
little time.
So she never ended?
She never had to take medication. To take no pills because she just gave herself the time to actually go through the emotions. Do you find that people either in a situation with loss of a child don't give themselves the time to go through before they medicate? Or do you feel like, yeah, you know, medication just could have helped her get through it quicker?
Or does it help if you medicate sooner rather than waiting later?
Right.
Yeah, to start at later.
Right.
I think that every patient is a different case because a professional will be able to identify the degree of severity.
Right.
If it is a mild case, there is no rush because nature takes care of many of all the symptoms. If it is a very severe one, it will be identified very quickly. And yes, then medication should be started very, very early.
Now, this is important, though, because on the story that I shared earlier, as you recall, the husband was thinking this, you know, you should pray, I stay with you, you're going to feel better. Mm-hmm. And she ended up killing herself. So we know that suicide is the second most common cause of death among women that go through labor during this period of postpartum.
Need, we need to remember.
It's important to, you would just say, Dr. Margoza, to actually recognize the signs and get them to see someone right away and allow that person to then evaluate.
Yeah, when you have a baby, you're supposed to be joyful. And these women are feeling so guilty we have to remember that. I was very blessed that I didn't have those feelings. Mm-hmm. But I keep thinking of young women, young moms. They don't want to be with the baby. They don't feel like, you know, and
that's
they feel guilty
the
about it. It's part of the disease.
Yeah.
So we need to put the word out there that if you're having these feelings, it's not because you're a bad person. You need
it's
help.
It's part of what you're going through.
Right.
And I, in fact, want to tell our listeners there might be somebody there who is experiencing this right now. Thank you, Dr. Melgoza, for helping shed light into this very important issue on depression and the different stages of life of a woman. Now, remember, you might be watching us today and maybe feeling some of the symptoms that you heard here. Go to our website, hopetv.org/speakup, and download our Speak Up Notes on Depression Ending Women's Lifespan. That's something you can share in, with your family, with your friends, and you can benefit from. The website again, hopetv.org/speakup. Now, come back with us in just a few seconds. Don't go away, because we're going to hear what the Bible is speaking up about this issue. We'll be right back. We've been talking about depression in a woman's lifespan and the period of time where they're more at risk to experience it. So how has that impacted you? What have we learned today?
Well, I can say that life does not begin. I'm 40.
All right.
Just saying. All right. Just saying.
Yeah. In fact, he said that, you know, early on. Did you? I found it interesting. When the boys and the girls, you know, are about the same age, same risk of depression. Right after they have the first period, or they, you know, have that hormonal maturity that allows them to grow into that next developmental stage. Twice as much already, you know, increases the risk.
Mm-hmm. Talking about gender equality, but I feel that we didn't cover much about the menopausal phase. And I shared my story with the postpartum, and what do you know? I can share my story about menopause. I won't go there.
Right. I was going to say, enlighten us more, Jussara.
The thing is, because I had that experience before, and I was educated, so with age comes wisdom.
Low wisdom.
And you recognize the symptoms.
So now I recognize the symptoms, but there are women who come to this phase in their lives, and they have never had thoughts of depression before, sadness. And this is really a big thing for them. It's a brand new feelings. And at the same time, they're losing their youth looks, and they don't look as good
anymore. So there's just a lot to combat and a lot to handle.
Down the dumps. So we really should consider that with
and
the
menopause
of women.
And you know what? As women, that starts young. Our teen girls, you know this well. Those kinds of thoughts that creep up, the comparisons. So even in high school, they're looking and they want to look like other people, talk like other people, dress like other people. And if they're not
measuring up,
if they're not measuring up, man.
And the effort they put in, the effort that a teen will put into making sure they look like or dress like they could borrow people's clothes. They might take your clothes. They'll try to do as much as they can to measure up in order to combat how they're feeling
and
inside.
And we can look back and say, that's nothing to be depressed about.
Exactly.
But you know what? When you're in it,
yeah,
it is.
It's different.
We cannot minimize it. We can't come to a teenager and say, don't worry.
Don't worry about it.
To be
it gets better.
It's going to be so much better.
But actually, when they start with that, though, if that doesn't change, you know, through their experiences in life, it will come to the point where they reach that age. And if that has been their identity, that's when I think they suffer the most loss in terms of their looks.
Right.
Because that has been part
of their whole identity.
And so that can be problematic.
The problem is, it's about like the media out there that's depicting what women should look like, and it should not be the ideal, because, you know, I want to say this: we are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, God made us after His image, so we are beautiful inside and out. God accepts us for who we are and what we are, so we should not look at other people's image and be like them, because each of us,
we are one of us.
One of the things I tell the youth at my church, I tell them this. I say, when I was growing up, I didn't always think I was enough. And then when I started to grow up, I looked around and was like, if I'm created in the image of God, as you just stated, right, and you're created in the image of God, we're on an equal playing field. And so I would walk into a room, telling my secrets now, I would walk into a room and I would say certain things like, Novella has arrived. Now, I wouldn't say
out
that.
Out loud?
No, in my head. I had. And I wouldn't do that because I felt like I was better than anybody sitting there. Mm-hmm. But I would say that because I had to tell myself,
that's right,
I am here. I am enough. God is with me.
That
God
is the pastor novella. Right?
So I had to start putting things into my head so that my confidence and my self-esteem, so that I could stand up strong and say, okay, novella has actually
so
arrived.
Why don't, Pastor Novella, why don't you share with us what is the Bible speaking up on this issue? Because you're grounded on it.
Absolutely. You can tell. So Psalm 42:11 actually starts off with a question. And it says, why? Why, my soul, are you downcast? Mm-hmm. And then it says, why so disturbed within me? Mm-hmm. Put your hope in God. So it's like he's speaking to himself. Why are you this? Why are you that? So now he's saying to himself, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. So even in his state of sadness or depression, however it's categorized in this psalm, he is recognizing there are two things here. I feel downcast and I feel disturbed.
So he recognizes it. It's part of what he's
there's a recognition, exactly. But then there is a command that he's telling himself.
But
I feel like this. However, what I'm about to do is I'm going to put my hope in God. That's my creator. He knows me. I'm putting my hope in God. And then he says, that's not enough. I'm going to go to put a praise on it. So he says, now I'm going to praise him, my soul and my Savior and my God. So there's a recognition of who God is. There's commands and there's action of praise.
Thank you for sharing there, Pastor Mella. We're really glad. Now, remember, depression may happen at any a number of times in a woman's lifespan, including during those critical moments of hormonal changes, as we learned today, and also losses in life. Have you heard the stories? So we encourage you to learn the signs and symptoms and to recognize them in you or in someone you love. The good news is there is hope no matter what situation you're in. For more information and resources, visit our website at hopetv.org/speakup and download your Speak Up notes on depression in women's lifespan. Be sure to share them with your family and friends. That's it for us today. Again, that website is hopetv.org/speakup. And give us a call. We are ready to pray for you. That's it on us from us today. We will see you next time to speak up about issues that matter for your whole life and health and happiness.